Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we're making the case for Juneteenth in these times. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you're on your computer, you can go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You'll be on Blog Talk Radio at that time. My name is Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Robert, who, like me, is an Ulu member. Peace, Brother Robert. How you doing tonight?
Hey, peace, sister. How you doing? I'm well, and greetings to the listening audience. It's an honor to be with you tonight.
It's good to have you here with us. Before we get into talking about Juneteenth, I would like for you Tell us about a little bit about the New Reality Forum, who's putting on a Juneteenth celebration this coming Saturday.
Absolutely. So the New Reality Forum is really a new initiative that is launched under the media and marketing arm of Us Lifting Us. We are a baby program in the sense that we're still finding our ways. However, one of the aims that we have is to really highlight businesses in our community that are vested in cooperative economics. We will create a platform where we will have ULU members as well as non-ULU businesses come on that platform. And we'll highlight some of the work that they're doing, whether it's in the area of agriculture, health, education. We just want to give spotlight to those businesses that are truly vested in the practices of cooperative economics.
Okay, that's fair enough. So what led to the decision of the New Reality Forum to celebrate Juneteenth this year?
Yes, so currently I serve as the leader of New Reality. However, the vision was the brainchild of Brother Madike, who is also a member of the board, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Brother Madike is navigating some personal family issues right now, and so I was charged with stepping in. Really, it was Brother Madike's vision. I think I first learned of the vision at the annual conference back in March, I believe it was. Brother Madike really just saw the need for people of African descent to really be prepared, right? Because we're constantly in a state of crisis. And part of that preparedness is really highlighting the different businesses in our community that are doing various things. So, for example, in the area of tactics and training, right, we want to highlight those businesses that are engaged in training, you know, that can bring the community in, again, health and wellness, because it's only a matter of time before the next crisis happens, and we don't want to get further in the hole, you know, economically and just realistically, holistically. And so that was kind of the brainchild of Brother Madike. And like I said, I was charged in this state of transition to really just kind of step in and help get the get the ball moving.
Okay, thank you very much for that. So now we're going to kind of switch gears and go to the Juneteenth idea. So for I know there are quite a few of us who may not have heard of Juneteenth before. So could you please tell us what the Juneteenth celebration is on about, Juneteenth or Juneteenth Day? What's the commemoration of Juneteenth?
Absolutely. So I will be transparent and say, although I grew up in a predominantly Black community, I didn't know a lot about Juneteenth until the past couple years ago. And so as I understand it, Juneteenth, which falls on June 19th, is really a day set aside to commemorate the freeing of the last enslaved Africans that were being held captive in the state of Texas. And as my research has led me to find out, there was a gentleman by the name of General Granger of the Union Army arrived in Galveston, Texas on June 19, 1865 with other Union soldiers to inform these enslaved Africans that they were indeed free. Now, these Africans in Texas didn't get the message that they were free until several years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed on July 1, 1863 by President Lincoln. Some of the earliest Juneteenth celebrations were held in Galveston, Texas, and then spread throughout the South to other places like Houston and various places throughout the South and eventually throughout the country. Juneteenth historically has also been known as Jubilee Day, Emancipation Day, and Liberation Day over time as well.
Okay, because it's interesting. You said you didn't know about it until a few years ago. I didn't grow up with Juneteenth. I grew up with Watch Night Service. That was held on December 31st. So we would go, you know, to church and have service. And then at midnight, which was supposed to symbolize the, you know, the emancipation coming into effect on January 1st. So when I first heard about Juneteenth and what it was about, I was kind of upset, really, because it's like you celebrate and getting the news late. And I really didn't think it was going to take off. I mean, because I had lived in many places, and I happened to be living in Texas and found out about it. And I figured it would just be a Texas thing. It would never get out of Texas. But then after a while, it did. Now I'm hearing that it's celebrated everywhere. So
yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the 156th year that Juneteenth has actually been celebrated. So, you know, we've covered some ground over the last century or so.
Yeah. So why do you think it is important, or do you think it should be important? Because it's, like I said, it's the celebration of getting the news late. So do you think it's important because at least we got the news? What do you think about that?
So to speak to your question, I think it is absolutely important. From my understanding and some of my studies, you know, traditional celebrations have been a crucial time for African people to come together and to share in a common experience, to feel good, to share their history, feel connected, and also to be inspired.
Right.
I think that it's important as well because, you know, before FUBU, Juneteenth was that thing that is for us and by us, right? So the celebration of Juneteenth really speaks to the unwavering spirit of self-determination that we keep at the forefront of our minds. It's also important that we take ownership of the freedom to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves instead of being defined, named, created for, and spoken for by others. Juneteenth is a celebration and a time of commemoration that really allows us the opportunity to tell our experience from our perspective. The events leading up to Juneteenth, which was, you know, obviously the enslavement of Africans, aren't so glamorous at all times, but there are forces, especially in the state of Texas and around the country, that are trying to change the narrative of slavery and make it seem as though our ancestors either willingly participated in their bondage or that things weren't as bad as they actually were. And so I think it is also important now, during this time of the COVID pandemic and the ongoing pandemic that African people face, which is white domination, it's imperative that we take some time to really reflect on where we've come from, where we're at, and where we're headed. And celebrating and commemorating Juneteenth, in my opinion, allows us the space to do that.
I think that you make a very excellent point there. Because it doesn't, whenever we have an opportunity to share culture and, you know, help each other and big each other up, I think it's good for us as a people to do that.
Absolutely. And if we don't tell the story from our perspective, someone else will.
Absolutely. That's probably why they got a bill waiting for, what's his name, Biden to sign now. Making Juneteenth a federal holiday. And
it's actually been signed. It's official now.
Oh, he signed it today. Okay. All right.
He signed it earlier today. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So now we'll have an official Juneteenth. Why is it called Juneteenth? Do you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I use African and Black interchangeably, but in this case, I'll say that Black folks are going to be what Black folks. Black folks are going to do what Black folks do. In true Black folk fashion, our people kept the June, we etched the nine, and we swagged out the team. That's creating June.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I would dare to say that this seemingly simple act is a testament not only of our ability to remix things and to make light of things, but also it's a very political act of self-determination.
Absolutely, no doubt. Yeah, I had not heard. We have a caller on the line already. Let me see who we got calling in. We'll give you a break for a minute. Peace caller with the last four digits 4600. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment.
I was just looking at your topic and listening to your discussion. How are you today?
We're doing very well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing as usual.
Okay.
But
so you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was going. You were making a discussion on the economic and political plight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the there's several things that's going on there amongst this particular ethnic group that you call Black in the United States, and that economic plight has a lot to do with skill and education attainment.
Okay.
And if the children in this group is not being educated in the areas where they'd be able to sell themselves, and now it's gotten more competitive because you have people from other areas of the planet coming, and they are vying for those positions that's in high demand.
Mm-hmm.
And that education is not going on as good as it is, nowhere near as well as it should be. And that needs to change. Now, granted, all is not going to do as you would hope for them to do in certain areas. But there, from what I think, a lot more that could be more qualitative in the areas of high demand. And, of course, those science and STEM areas.
Mm-hmm.
And something has to be done in these elementary urban schools. Because I witnessed some school districts where you have a Black school district like Normandy and others in the St. Louis area where your math proficiency is only 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 13% reading. That is totally unacceptable. Those children are not going any place. And you know the funny thing about it, why are these young people allowed to play sports, basketball and football? And they can't be, looking at the number of players required on a team and look at the number of students in high school, and you only got 5% math proficiency, there's no way that the players on those teams are scoring an appropriate grade where they permit them to take on those extracurricular activities.
That is why I think that sports and the entertainment industry is classified as modern-day slavery. They're not expected to do anything but entertain and play sports. So their math skills, science skills, nothing else is important just as long as they entertain through whatever medium. That's the way
and
I see it.
Now, these are Black school districts.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Black administrators, principals, and coaches. I think these coaches are trying to relive what they weren't able to achieve through some of these children. We've heard about that in the past since.
Yeah, I would say that even though the face of the school district is what you would call Black or African, it's like chocolate-covered vanilla school district. They don't own, you know, we don't control much here. So the answer to the situation that you see, I think, would be that we take control of our own schools if it means taking our children out of the schools where the only programming they have is to make them entertainers. And
well,
we take it upon ourselves.
I have to kind of push back on you on that, because these school districts I know very well in the state I came up in Missouri, all that power is given to the school district. They can have whatever they want, curriculum, books, or instructional material. What you have is society's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And then when society's not there.
Okay, finish your point. But we're talking about Juneteenth tonight. So you finish your point, and then we'll go back to what we were talking about, okay?
Well, yeah, and I'm just going by what you had as a subtitle here on your page, where you said mm-hmm. a sober discussion of the economic and mm-hmm. political flight. And mm-hmm. as I was getting ready to say, is that when the society and the school district don't do and implement the powers that they have, then, of course, things run array. Others take control of it, like teachers' unions and administrators and so on and so on. Then nothing is achieved. So I just want to point that out and keep it in line with your subtitle that you have here on your page.
Thank you. Well, thank you for calling in, and please join us again.
Sister Q, if I may I speak briefly to something the caller brought up?
Yes, for sure.
So I'm currently residing in St. Louis, Missouri, so I can understand where he's coming from. Prior to my position I'm in now, I work for the St. Louis Public School. And so how this ties into Juneteenth from my perspective is our children, all hope isn't lost first and foremost, but a lot of it is our children aren't necessarily seeing themselves and their culture reflected in the curriculum, so they don't get super excited or they don't get super engaged about it. And so if we, for example, if there was, you know, efforts to teach about Juneteenth and other, you know, historical cultural movements and events, I'm likely to believe that you would see a positive correlation with our children in terms of how they interact with the overall educational experience.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, and I maintain that, you know, we have, in most parts of the country, we have school districts and even city councils and things that have, you know, black folks leading them, but they take their instructions and their directions mm-hmm. from the Europeans that put them in power. And until we take these organizations back, we're going to always be like not having good school results and things like that. So I'm going to again invite people to join the conversation. You can call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad to make a question or a comment. And Brother Robert, I think we're going to take a quick music break right here and come back in a couple of minutes.
Absolutely.
Dance our way out of our constriction. Gonna be freaking up and down the hang up alleyway. With the groove I only got, we shall all be moved. Ready or not, here we come. Getting down on the one which we believe.
Can I get it on my foot?
Darkest floor,
Welcome back to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night weekly radio program, where we discuss taking control of the economic destiny of our people and how to do it. Tonight, Brother Roderick is making a case for Juneteenth in these times. Before the break, Brother Robert gave us a bit of history on Juneteenth, as well as the new reality forum that's putting forward the Ulu Juneteenth celebration on Saturday. Brother Robert, please continue with what you were talking about as far as explaining to us what Juneteenth is, where it's celebrated.
Yeah, so Juneteenth is really celebrated in communities all around the United States. As I mentioned, President Biden signed into effective bill that makes Juneteenth a federal law now. So I would imagine that the signing of that bill would make Juneteenth continue to grow and bring awareness in even more spaces that there wasn't awareness. I also recently learned that I believe in Ghana, if I'm not mistaken, Ghanaians celebrate Juneteenth in solidarity with Africans in America as well. And I'm not sure if there are other places in the diaspora that celebrate Juneteenth, but I know, you know, it's one of those celebrations that communities across the country engage in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now tell us a little bit about the Juneteenth Jubilee celebration that's coming up on Saturday.
Absolutely. So we are excited. The New Reality Forum, in collaboration with the membership committee, is hosting our first Juneteenth celebration. This will be an event that will happen Saturday, June 19th, this Saturday, from 12 to 2 Eastern Time. What we're asking is for people to pre-register for this event. And you can do that a couple ways. You can go to usliftingus.com. And on the website, you would go to the events tab, scroll down on that page and click on the Juneteenth event flyer, and it will take you to Eventbrite. Or if you go to eventbrite.com, you can search for Us Lifting Us, and that will populate the Juneteenth event. This is a free virtual event, so you can join in from wherever you are, whether it's for 5 minutes or, you know, if you want to hang around the entire time, that would be great as well. We encourage people to invite family and friends. This is a family-friendly event in terms of what to expect. So we kind of have really three areas that we're focusing on, right? So the first area is Jubilee. This is the day of celebration and commemoration. As I mentioned earlier, this is the 156th year that Juneteenth is celebrating, you know, just across the country. But this will be a historic event and the first time that Ulu is putting on a Juneteenth celebration. So there's an element of Jubilee. This is also Black Music Month. And, you know, arts and culture are a crucial part of anything that we got something to do with, right? And so we're going to take some time to celebrate Black Music Month. We're going to have several spectacular performers lined up, poetry, singing. We just have some amazing artists on deck. And the thing that I am really excited about is the kind of third element of our program is really honor, right? So we're going to take some time to honor the founders of Ulu. My mom would often say when I was coming up, give people their flowers while they're still alive, right? So we felt that it would be appropriate and timely for us to stop to honor the founders for their labor, love, and contributions to our cooperative business, but also to our people in general. If you have any additional questions, you know, people can feel free to reach out to Ulu New Reality, and that's all one word, Ulu New Reality @gmail.com, or you can personally reach out to me at 314-252-8274, and I'll share that info again towards the end of the show.
Okay, that sounds like a very good lineup that you have coming. Can you identify some of the artist by name, or you'd rather surprise us?
I don't want to. You know, we got some surprises in store, so I don't know if I want to let the cat out the bag. I will say this. We have a young poet that's going to be featured. We have a Ulu member that's going to showcase their artistic ability. I think we have several people that are going to give some renditions of songs. So it's you know, we're excited about it. This is our first one. I'm getting excited just talking about it, right? So this came together really quickly. Like I said, I kind of came on board in the midst of some transition, and the idea was out there, right? And we really only had about maybe a month to really organize this. So this really came together really quickly. It was, you know, stressful at times, but it was definitely a labor of love that myself and the rest of the New Reality team committed ourselves to making sure that we put on a dynamic program for the community.
Okay, so what are the age groups of the artists, if you could give us, is it all adults?
So the youngest artists, yeah, we don't have too many young artists, and that's something that, you know, when we do the next one, we want to definitely get more of the youth voice involved. Right now, the youngest artist is age 8, and honestly, I'm not sure what the oldest artist is. If I had to guess, I would say 50, 60 in that range.
Oh, okay. So it's something for everybody to
absolutely.
You have
absolutely.
Something for everybody. Yeah, that sounds
absolutely.
Really cool. Now, you bring up a word that I'm not clear on the meaning of. You were saying jubilee. What is the meaning of that jubilee word?
As I understand it, in a very simplified way of celebration, essentially, just a time of triumph and celebration. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because there is talk also of another jubilee this year, but it has to do with finances. So I was wondering if the two were the same thing, but apparently they're not.
I may have to go to dictionary.com and we'll give you an official definition, but as I understand it, it essentially revolves around celebration.
It's just celebration. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess if people's finances were squared away for them, that would be a cause to celebrate. So we can
absolutely.
So tell us, when you were talking about Juneteenth, the celebration, the overall celebration itself, are there any elements of Juneteenth that that are unique to Juneteenth that you know of? Like, are there any, things that are done that are unique to Juneteenth that you know of? Like when I was in Texas, they would say about Red Pop and Watermelon, when they had whatever their Juneteenth celebration was, that had to be a part of it. I never did find out why Red Pop and Watermelon, but I was wondering if you know of, you know, like we have the Panera and things for Kwanzaa. Is there any symbolism or something for Juneteenth that is uniform? So like if I'm in New York and I'm celebrating Juneteenth, I would be doing pretty much the same thing as somebody in Chicago or maybe even in Ghana, like we do for Kwanzaa. Do you know if there's anything like that for Juneteenth yet?
Well, I can't say definitively, but based on my research and what I've seen, one of the things I particularly appreciate about Juneteenth is there is a lot of variation and a lot of ways to celebrate and express that spirit of jubilee. And so, as I was doing some of my research, I found that you know, activities can range from rodeos. You know, we were talking about Texas, the South, right, and the black cowboys that existed in the South. So activities can range from anything from rodeos to the coming together and communal gatherings, singing of songs, reading of speeches. You know, we like to do a lot of things around food, right? You mentioned the watermelon and the red soda or pop, as you called it. But there's a lot of variation from what I understand. And maybe someone in the listening audience can speak to this question better than I can. But, you know, I don't know that there's one universal thing that all Juneteenth celebrations share in common across the board and have to do.
Okay. Thank you for that. I imagine, even though, well, I would say it's a relatively new observation. Well, it goes, if I understood what you said, it goes back to like 1863 or something like 1865. And so in Texas, they've been celebrating it, I imagine, all of that time, but not everywhere else. And so I guess as time goes on, each community will have its own flavor to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And like
Absolutely.
You say, in Texas, it might be something with cowboys, and other places might be something with boats, or, you know, but I think...
and I think that's a beautiful...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's the beautiful thing about it, you know, as we're talking and thinking about it, right? Juneteenth in our lifetime may look different than how Juneteenth is celebrated, let's say, 100 years from now. Now, there may be some common, you know, traditions that translate over time. But for example, right now, because of COVID, a lot of things are virtual. So we may have more, this may be the birth of virtual Juneteenth celebrations that may look drastically different from the first celebration in 1865. I don't know if it's 1863 or 65. I want to say 65.
Okay.
So, you know, I think that that's the beautiful thing about it. I would imagine we're going to hold on to some of the fundamental practices and values and even the spirit of the day. But I can imagine it also looking drastically different, you know, within the next 50 to 100 years with the advent of technology and, you know, just depending on where society is at during that time.
Do you know if anybody has a copy of the, I guess it was a proclamation that, did you say General, what was his name? General Gift?
General Granger. Mm-hmm.
Granger. Do you know if anybody
has... I think it was
called
Field Order Number 3.
Okay. So if anyone has that, will that be read at the, during the course of the celebration, do you think?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I'm not completely in control of formatting the final program, but that could be something that I could bring up that could be read during that time if it's not.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, we're going to take another quick music break, and then we come back. We're going to tie all of this Juneteenth in with Ulu and what it means to us for our economic development.
Looking forward to it.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me. But did you know what life is worth? You would look for yours unheard, and now will you see the light? You stand up for your rights. Yeah.
Get up, stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
Stand up for your rights.
Peace. Welcome back to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program. Brother Robert, we have a caller, so I'm going to go to that first before we get back to you, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 3440, please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question.
Yeah, greetings, Sister Q and Brother Robert. I'm enjoying the program and really learned a few things. This is Brother Shibaka, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Peace, brother.
Also heard on the news what you said earlier, brother, about Biden signing the proclamation or whatever it's called. And I think that was a good thing, but I want to caution us. And I'm glad and I hope that ULU set a framework to begin to institutionalize this celebration and give qualitative input on some of the essentials in the celebration of this great event, because what the Europeans will do, will commercialize it, and we'll lose the meaning. And
for
so,
sure.
if we need to take control of the narrative, make sure that the historical meaning and significance is interwoven in our commemoration and celebration of this, because otherwise they'll have trinkets. You know, anything to capitalize and make a profit while at the same time we lose the significance of what this means historically. As you said a little earlier, that we don't see ourselves in the school setting. We don't see ourselves. We will not even see ourselves in this and the significance of what it meant. So that, I just wanted to make that comment, but I'm glad and I plan to definitely register and participate on ULU celebration on Saturday. So thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Shibaka, for your comment.
Thank you, Brother, for chiming in.
Yeah. So I think what he said is very important, because what generally happens with our celebrations is, well, what has happened with Kwanzaa? Now you go to Walmart to buy your, you know, your canara and stuff, and your candles. Rather than getting it from your local black business, you go to a white establishment to get it. So we want to try to keep that down to a minimum, you know, encourage to trade with each other, or, you know, do business with each other for all of our Juneteenth needs, whatever they might be. What do you think about that, Brother Robert?
Oh, it's absolutely imperative, you know, that Ujamaa element, to make sure that we keep, you know, the money in our community, right? And we
mm-hmm.
have people that are generally from the culture and of the culture that we would hope at least have some basic fundamental African values, as opposed to giving those dollars to our oppressor in a counter-revolutionary, you know, act,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better word.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We have another caller, so I'm going to take that call as well.
Greetings.
Sure,
can you hear me, Sister
Q?
Okay,
yes, I can hear you. Peace. Identify
this
yourself,
is Brother
Auntie.
Call,
yes,
this is Brother Auntie calling from Atlanta. And I just want to thank you and Brother Robert for the program this evening. And just wanted to add, Sister Q, you asked a very, very important question when you asked about the term Jubilee. That is actually, it comes out of a biblical reference. The people of Israel, sometimes due to the economic situations, would find themselves having to sell themselves into bondage. And the Jubilee was a celebration that occurred every 50 years where all debts were forgiven. Any land that had been sold to pay off debts would be returned to the original owner. So the idea of Jubilee is tied to notions of liberation. Okay. And we could see why African Americans or, you know, the enslaved Africans would consider Juneteenth as a Jubilee experience.
Yes.
What's fascinating is that in the biblical context, it was also a way of keeping the community in balance and in harmony. So in other words, you know, certain families may have come on hard times. They lost property as a result of that. But in the Jubilee year, which was every seventh year, was considered a Sabbath year. And so seven Sabbath years would give you 49 years. And on the 50th year, they would celebrate by the blowing of the shofar or the ram's horn, signifying the release of the captives and the returning of property and the returning of land as a way of keeping the community in balance. What it really suggests to us is the call for reparations. So as a way of repairing the damage of, 200-plus years of enslavement. So I just wanted to add that piece to the definition and our understanding of Juneteenth. It is a liberation event and celebration.
Okay. Thank you for that. And now I can see better the connection, you know. Go ahead.
You know, people coming out of enslavement, part of that was a way of expressing their freedom through their involvement in the biblical text. So that's where that element comes into it. And you had mentioned earlier that the celebration of Watch Night, where the community would gather on New Year's Eve and pray, and then at the stroke of midnight, they would watch January 1st, 1863 in terms of their freedom coming into being. And so it's part of that same theme and motif of freedom and liberation. And it's really, I think, a call for us to redouble our efforts around reparations. So thank you, Sister Q, and thank you, Brother. It's a good program, and keep on keeping on.
Oh, thank you for your comments, and thank you for the clarification as well. Yeah.
Rich concept.
Brother Robert, it's almost time for us to wind down. So my final question for you is, Ulu is basically a business. So why do you think it would be important for us to recognize Juneteenth, and particularly on an annual basis?
So that's a great question. You know, I recognize we have different people. We have members of Ulu on the call, and we may have some non-members on the call as well. So for those that may not be familiar with Ulu, I think it's imperative to first mention that we're a business that operates as a cooperative. And what this ultimately means and looks like is that members of Ulu are literally invested in the business and active stakeholders within the business. As individuals, you know, coming from various walks of life, parts of the world, et cetera, Hulu members have made a commitment to cooperative economics as a practice in a real-time, real-life way. It is no secret that our enslaved ancestors were not only denied an opportunity to participate in the economic system during the time of enslavement, but that their free labor was the driving force behind the building and advancing of the American economy. And because mm-hmm. of that contributions of our ancestors in the society, pre- and post-enslavement, we have an opportunity now to not only participate in the economic sector of this country, but also to set aside time to include as part of our business practices celebration, commemoration, and honor that reflects our values, culture, achievements, and worldview. And so it is my opinion and my understanding that institutions such as businesses play a vital role in connecting our economic practices to our cultural celebrations. Many private entities that our people work for or patronize won't see Juneteenth as valid as was mention of earlier. They won't see it mm-hmm. as valid or valuable unless it profits them financially. And so we recognize that the economic cooperation that stems from our communal culture makes our celebrations priceless. You can't put a price on Juneteenth. You can't water it down. It's up to us as Hulu to counter the attempts of the capitalist business sector to exploit our sacred and special occasions. And I think one of the best examples of cooperative economics even centering around Juneteenth that I found in my research is the fact that free Africans pooled together their money to buy land to celebrate Juneteenth in the early years when they faced white backlash and were banned from celebrating Juneteenth in public parks. And so mm-hmm. we follow in that example of those brilliant Africans, and we use economics as a means to carrying out our self-determination, but also part of that being we have the freedom to celebrate what we find to be important to us and to push forward the narrative that is important to us from our perspective.
I think that's very important because I'm thinking now about how many observances and celebrations that we have had over the years, and we allowed, European sponsors, and mm-hmm. you know, once they started putting money in to fund our programs and our celebrations, then the programs and celebrations took on a different flavor, you know. So I Absolutely. Like what you're saying about Hulu putting, setting the standard and holding it for how we're going to Absolutely. Go forward with that. Yes. Yeah. So let me kind of sort of mention how people can join Hulu or what they could do, because I don't know all of the particulars, still new at that. But anybody listening who wants to join Hulu or wants to know more information about Hulu can go to our website. It's usliftingus.com. And you can find a lot of material there that you can read and learn about who we are and what we do and what our plans are for the future. If you find that it might be something for you and you want to join Hulu, there's a way for you to fill out information on the website. We vet people, so you can apply for membership, and then we will decide if you qualify. It's only for Black African people, so if you're not that, you don't qualify. And we would like, after you've been vetted and you've joined, then we would like for you to buy shares in the cooperative. Shares are $1,000 per unit. You don't have to put $1,000 down right away. You can, you know, pay in installments. And we would like for you, this is not like, you know, putting shares in AT&T or Google or Apple. This is like participation. So you join, you put your money down, and you put your energy into it. That's what makes it successful, that we all bring our gifts and our talents and pool them to create the reality that we would like to see for ourselves and for our children. So if, again, if you're interested, you can go to the website, usliftingus.com, and there's also a phone number you can call. The number is 404-592-2780. That's 404-592-2780. Or you can send an email to info@usliftingus.com, and someone will get back to you. So we're looking for people who are interested in working together to create a reality that is beneficial to us. Brother Robert, what would you like for people to take away from tonight's discussion?
Yes, so I think that you really, really hit it on the nail. We have a lot to celebrate about, right? But we're building something, and we need people to help us build that thing out. I was one of those members that was involved in ULU early on for a couple years, and I wasn't very active, and I decided I wanted to change that. And here I am now as a part of the New Reality team, initiating a first Juneteenth celebration. So, you know, we want to take time to commemorate and celebrate the history that has already been made. But the beautiful thing is we have a platform and a venue where we can create history and we can continue history and move things forward a little bit further. And so consider joining ULU as a member. When you join ULU, consider joining the New Reality team. We need help, right? We need people to help us to grow our vision and be active. And if New Reality isn't for you, there are other committees that you can join as well. There, if you have an initiative or program you think would be beneficial to ULU, you could propose that as well. But, you know, just in closing, I just want to, again, really reiterate, I would love to see people come out to this first Juneteenth celebration. We're asking people to pre-register. If you're on the website, usliftingus.com, go to the events tab, scroll down to the bottom of the page. You'll see a flyer for the Juneteenth event. Click on that, and that will pre-register you for the event. This is a family-friendly event. This is a free event. It's virtual. You can join wherever you are. Got a lot of performances in store. We're going to take some time to celebrate and have messages of liberation, and we're going to also really take some time to honor and reflect the founders and the visionaries that really put this thing in motion as far as ULU is concerned. So I look forward to seeing you all.
Thank you, Brother Robert. And we want to thank everyone who joined us this evening. We will be back next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another discussion on Dare to Win. Peace.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, yeah, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
I'll change the world. What it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah. Wake up, everybody.
Thank you.